by faith, an example. And I know this will upset some of you, but it's okay. My daughter walked up to me about 6 years ago, and she said, my youngest daughter, and she said, Dad, I have found the man that I want to marry. Now, she's been living with me all of these years, watched my conversion, watched me change, and watched me become a servant. And she said, Dad, the man that I want to marry is a mess, because she had held him up beside of me. I had given her an example of what Jesus is a little bit, I'm a little bit like Jesus. Folks, I'm still being worked on. Y'all know that, don't you? But she's holding me up saying, this must be a little bit like Jesus. And she put me up beside the husband that she wanted to marry, and he didn't. She said, Daddy, he is a mess. Now, right away, I knew something about this guy. These are the things that I knew. I knew that God loved him with all of his heart. I knew that Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for him. I knew that Jesus redeemed him, justified him, had healed him, and done all of this. All this wonderful man has to do is experience it, and I've got to bring it to him. I knew that about David. And my daughter said, Dad, I will not marry him unless you let us live in your house. I cannot love him the way you do, and I want you here to help me love him because he needs a lot of help. I said, bring him home. Here come a great big 6'5", 6'4", 250-pound, good-looking, unique, original masterpiece of God. The biggest mess I've ever seen. One of the sweetest guys I've ever seen. He'd been through the Vietnam conflict, had been from one job to the next, had whanged, dangled, and finagled, and just taken advantage of all the places that he'd ever worked, and nobody would hire him. I didn't know that about him. So he stayed home all the time. And every morning I'd get up, he would greet me with this great, phenomenal new thing that he was fixing to do and going to get rich. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And I would say, isn't that wonderful? I just love you with all of my heart. Whether you ever make anything or not, David, doesn't matter one bit to me. I love you just like you are. And I want you to know, David, that I'm here to serve you. You're not here to serve me. I'm here to serve you. I love you. And boy, he began to check me out. Folks, when you walk off into this, don't think you're not going to get checked out. You won't ever know how patient you are until you get checked out. You won't know what perseverance is until you get checked out. This guy began to take everything I own. And he'd run, because you see, he couldn't hold a job. Now, my attitude towards him is to pray. Oh, God. David doesn't know what he's doing. He has no understanding of what he's doing. I love him, God. I know, God, you put a love in this man. And you know what, folks? I promise you right up front, after I'd gone through the airplane and several other things that people had done to me in this ministry, the things that I'd suffered through, David was duck soup. Didn't bother me at all. In fact, I found out where he was taking the stuff he was hawking. I'd go get it and put it back so he could steal it again. It was the only way we could communicate. He couldn't even talk to me. Y'all ready for this? There are no wimps on the cross. I've heard fathers say that. And there's no strong guys either. There's only love up there. Amen. That's the way God loves me. Now, God's asking me, can I love David like that? And I said, God, this is hard. I got along real good till he stole my fishing poles. I'd lay awake at night and say, God, you know I've had about all this I can take. I don't know whether I can take anymore or not, but I'm praying tonight. Folks, I want to tell you, when you begin to live this in your home, You'll spend a lot of time in prayer, and you'll do it walking around in your house. I am convinced that most of our praying has got to be done at home. Learn how to pray when you're in all kind of conflict in your house. We've not learned to do that. We like to run off to quiet and subtle places where nobody's bothering you. Learn how to pray when you're getting the crap kicked out of you. Learn how to pray when they're robbing you. Learn how to pray when they're taking advantage of you. Learn how to pray when you're laying in the bed at night weeping because you know that the whole family's just going down the tubes. I'm just giving you one incident. Every one of my children, I've got five, every single one of them has put me to the acid test. Every single one of them. For the past 17 years, and it ain't over yet. But thank God I've learned how to deal with it, and I'm no longer bothered with it. I got up one morning to go to San Diego, and I walked out of the house. David was standing out. This is 5 years, folks, I've been in this stuff. This just happened not too long ago. I walk out of my house 6:30 in the morning to run catch a plane to San Diego, and David is outside waiting on me. And he knows all I'm going to do is greet him. Praise God, David. What are you doing up at 6:30 in the morning? He said, I got to talk to you. Oh, I said, would you mind taking me to the airport then? I got to get out. I'm in a hurry. Oh, let's go. I'll take you. You know what he said to me? He said, Peepaw, he's like a little child. He said, Peepaw, don't you know that I've been your problem around the house? I wanted to say, you sapsucker, I know it with everything that's in me. But you know what I said? I said, David, you are not a problem for me. I like you just like you are. Don't you dare change. I finally got used to you. But listen to what he said to me. He said, I don't want to be like this no more. I said, what are you telling me? He said, I'd like to surrender my life to Jesus. I said, oh, no. I'm going to have to get used to you all over again. And we prayed in the car on the way to the airport. That's 6 years they have lived in my house. And I can't imagine them ever leaving. Because we have grown to love one another. The guy loves me like a daddy. It's amazing how he is now beginning to serve me. I'll catch him doing things that only the Holy Spirit could have taught him to do. He'll get up of a morning and make coffee. And I'll come staggering down the hall out of being here all week and just zonked. And he'll say, Peepaw, you need some coffee. Just loves me. Jesus said, whatever you give out, you're going to get back. Whatever you measure out will be measured back. And I always thought that it was measured back from God. No, it's measured back from you. Jesus said, if we can't love those that we see, how can we love God whom we've never seen? You are the magnificent creation of God. And God, toward you, gave up His only begotten Son. I don't understand that. I don't know how He could have done it. I don't know how He could have been a spirit and allowed Himself to be conceived into this wonderful example of God that we have before us today, our wonderful Blessed Mother. I don't know how. But I know that I've operated off these principles. And I know that these principles produce the kingdom of God here on this earth. It's not something that I'm going to experience. I'm already experiencing the joy and the peace and the glory of God. And it's today. It's not tomorrow. Jesus is the day.
He comes today, and he always comes to those that can hear his word and move in it, and in it you will suffer. You will suffer. But the joy will be so far greater that the suffering will be nothing. And you will be visited by angels. I can tell you, God, I can tell you that if you move off into these words, your flesh will cringe. And if you never get to that point, the angels can't come and calm you down. Amen? There's only two places in the Scripture where it tells us how to be sons of God. Two places. Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. Sermon in the Mount. Or the Sermon on the Plain in Luke. From the mountaintop to the plain, the Sermon on the Mount covers it. It covers your spirituality. As you move into this, folks, as you move into this denying yourself, folks, this is where you pick up the cross. Loving your enemy, that's a cross. Praying for those that are abusing you, it's a cross. And folks, this is one of the reasons that if we ever can allow ourselves to look at Mary in that light, she is the example of this message. She stood before the cross and she did not protest, as far as I can see. It said she tucked it into her heart. Because she didn't understand. In other words, she was applying her faith. God, I don't understand, but surely you're in charge. And surely these things must happen. I don't understand it, but I ascend to you in faith, knowing that you will bring revelation sooner or later. Hello? Stop your protesting. We ain't got nothing to protest. God is in charge. Start living to the world like Jesus. Now, folks, listen. I don't know how this became the thing that I do. It just happened. It happened. I didn't even know what to ask for. Folks, how do you pray? God, send me truth. This is truth. Truth always hurts the flesh. If there's no pain in your conversion, if there's no pain in your walk, no Jesus. No Jesus. So you can imagine. Well, I know you can't imagine. But think about this. For 9 years, I went all over this United States. I logged in 6 years. I logged in 7,000 flying hours. I flew through everything that you can fly through, and not one time was the plane damaged. And I have been in situations where I spent one day, 2 hours in a storm, a freak storm, that 9 airplanes crashed in it and killed 27 people the day before Christmas. I sit in that storm for 2 hours. And only traveled 78 miles. Most of the time I was going backwards. Up, down, around. I sit there and said, oh God, this is your plane. I am your property. And I will not let fear into this cockpit. It is not a part of me. And I'm going to fly this plane, God, because you're in charge. I had an instructor with me teaching me instruments. He crawled in the floorboard under the, he got down under and with the microphone calling Houston, Fort Worth Center, is there any openings? That's all he could say. And I kept looking at him. I won't let fear into this cockpit. You lying devil are not going to put fear into me. You blessed creature of doom, you will not bring fear into this. And I sit there. I didn't even know how to fly instruments. the work that we've got to do, if we don't have our faith and our trust in God, you ain't going to do nothing. You can get into a formation. You can say a few prayers here and there, and you can act awful pious. But if you don't have the love of God and the trust of God stuck in your heart, you ain't going to do nothing. God's looking for some wimps that know how to love. Amen. Love your family. Love your husband. Love him. I don't care what he's into. Love, according to Scripture, love never fails. Why don't we try it? Love creates suffering to the body. It just creates suffering. God, I got 5 minutes. Yeah, I could go with you on this all day. You know that, don't you? Because there's no end to it. I'm totally convinced, because I've not made any effort for any of this to happen. We don't have no money to make it happen. We're not selling nothing to make it happen. And God is dropping people in here that absolutely blow me away. Can you imagine getting somebody like Father Carapi? Can you imagine getting somebody like Father Peter Wood? Can you imagine getting somebody like David Stewart? Can you imagine getting somebody like Brian Casey? How about little Leslie? Can you imagine the people that are working in the kitchen? All of the staff, over 52 of them, folks, and they ain't getting nothing but the glory of God. Love works. Love works. It is the power of the universe. I got a young man standing against the wall over here, Reggie. That young man, for 3.5 years, has done everything in the world to get me to kick him out. Everything. He runs the midnight auto. He'll tell you. I'm not. Shoot, he knows. And all I do is I keep telling Reggie, you're unrepeatable. You are a unique, marvelous, one-of-a-kind masterpiece of God. And oh, how God wants you to understand that He truly loves you. And I know that the only way Reggie can ever experience that love is through me. I got to hang on. I don't enjoy it. Sometimes I'm crying. I'll drop him off and I'll cry. Oh, God, touch him. You know, he's going through the school this week. It's only took him 3.5 years. You see, Reggie is motivated from within. He's not motivated out of my fear. I'm going to beat the hell out of you, Reggie, if you don't get in that school and learn something. You're not going to teach anybody like that. Fear is not a part of God's plan for salvation. Love is the plan. Now listen to this. I preached this message literally all over the world. Everywhere I went, I was ha-ha'd. Not by everybody. I've been drug out of parishes. I've been threatened. David Stewart and I have been ordered out of town. Don't ever come back. We said, praise be to God. We must be doing something right. This ministry has been attacked by every ministry that in the Catholic circles in the United States, the biggest to the least. They hate us. I don't know why. I'm not in competition with any of them. I love them. I'm praying for them. I'm praying that they will have and make a difference in the church. So here I am traveling all over, everywhere, preaching and teaching. And in Salina, Kansas, I remember where I was sitting in the church. David Stewart was preaching. David Stewart is an avid reader. He reads everything he gets his hands on. I don't read nothing. And it's because I have a serious defect in my mind. I can't see words. I only see half of words. I don't know why I can't read. I'm starting to understand a little bit. I just can't read, folks. So with my wife reading this to me, I just made a decision to act on it, and this is what God has done. David is a great reader, And God put David right beside me for some reason or another. I've suffered great with David. And David has suffered with me. But we're still together. And we love each other now more than we ever dreamed we could. And neither one of us are perfect. I have the same relationship with John and Brian and Leslie. And I can name just name them on and on and on. But imagine this. I'm sitting in a little church in Salina, Kansas. David is preaching, and he picks up the book on evangelization in the modern world. Everybody's criticizing me for my message, and I hear David read this. On page 86, if you will open your little book, please, because I got 2 minutes to get out of here. And I'm fixing the cover. You see, what you've heard this week is magisterial teaching. What you've heard this week is the deposit of faith. What you've heard this week is tradition. And folks, all I've been able to teach, all that God has ever shown me is from documents and encyclicals from the magisterium. I've not seen anything else. I've not read anything else. I wish I had a mind like Father Carotti. God is smart as man. I mean, I'm totally at awe. And it probably doesn't. He's probably sitting there going, well, it's nothing. He ought to be stupid like me. I'm in total awe. Total awe. Listen to what I read. What David Stewart read. Paragraph 8. Just going to read you 2 paragraphs. I would ask you, if you're a good reader, consume this little book and begin to live it. As an evangelizer, Jesus Christ first of all proclaimed a kingdom. The kingdom of God. That was his purpose for coming here. There was a problem in the world with sin and death, and Jesus came in preaching eternal life and forgiveness of sin. And he went to the cross to prove it. And was resurrected. Do we believe that? All right. Listen to this. And that this is so important that by comparison, everything else becomes the rest. Everything. This building is the rest. I've discovered that what we call over here church, that's not a church. It's the designated place by the bishop for the church together. That place blows up. We form another church. We get another building. Buildings aren't important. People are important. Building will never go to heaven. I'm going to take part of your break. Have y'all noticed the teachers, they never let you out on time? We just got too much to say. Every one of you here need to come through this formation. I know you can't do it. But I know you can die. I know that. It'd be hard to come to this formation, but you got no choice about dying, have you? Hello? If you're really interested in your church and in your faith, you need to come. If you're really interested, if you really have a heart of evangelization, if you really want to see the world change yourself. The world will change around you. My world is changing. Only the kingdom, therefore, is absolute. Love your enemy? Absolute. It'll never change. Do good to those that hate you? That's an absolute statement. The Lord will delight in describing in many ways the happiness of belonging to this what? What a happiness when they rob your property. You're kidding. And they say it is a paradoxical happiness which is made up of things the world rejects. The world will put your bunny in jail if you rob. If you're a child of the king, you forgive them and let them go. It's a lady getting real close. She's gray like me. She knows that she ain't taking nothing out of here, so she's already give it up. When are we going to start teaching our kids this? Folks, this removes competition from children. They don't need to compete. They're not looking for affection. They got it. They're not running around looking to be loved. They're loving. The demands, listen to this. A paradoxical happiness which is made up of the thing the world rejects. The demands of this kingdom. Our Pope, Paul VI, said there are certain demands on us that are presented in this kingdom, and it's Magna Carta. And David said, do you all know what the Magna Carta is? And I'm sitting there and said, never heard of it. And he said, well, there's a reference over in the back of the book, reference Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And he said, that's the Sermon on the Mount. I have been preaching the Sermon on the Mount for 9 years and being canned by everybody. And all of a sudden I discover that it's the very demands, the very Magna Carta, the very deposit of faith, the very heart of Scripture. It is the very teaching of the magisterium. You folks can't imagine what that done to me. I said, God, you can take a jackass and get whatever you want out of him. Amen? Amen. Be a jackass for God. Please don't listen. You don't have to be smart to love your enemy. Now, there is a wonderful place for smart. I can't tell you what Father Carafi is the first man that's ever been able to examine my soul since I was brought into this thing. He's the first man. He examined my soul. And I ran to confession. I said, I got to go right now. I pulled him in the side room. I couldn't wait. I said, we got to go. Come on over here right now. He examined me because he was smarter than me. He knew some things I didn't know. And I realized that I had to repent because, you see, I had pulled a few things in that magisterial teaching. I'd pulled them aside and said, well, I really don't believe this no more. Purgatory, it's kind of shaky because this message right here is going to take me straight to heaven. But see, I discovered that purgatory is a place of mercy. What a wonderful place. God in His mercy! Anytime you apply anything to God, know that it is mercy and grace. Do you know, back to my son David, do you know that he deserved to be whipped and punished? You know that? According to the law? But do you know that it was the love of God that healed him? It wasn't the law. The love healed him. Listen to this. Paragraph 10, please underline this, read it, because this is the basis of what we do here. This kingdom and this salvation. And please don't go out of here saying this is the only thing. The church is all encompassing. You're not going to be spiritually where I am or where Father is. It's okay. You may never do what I'm doing or be in the position. It's okay. But you still have to love your enemy. Amen. That's what salvation is. If you're safe and secure in Jesus, you can love your enemy. All right, let me read this next paragraph. Just going to read it. You should be able to determine. This kingdom and this salvation, which are the key words of Jesus Christ's evangelization, are available to every human being as grace and mercy. You didn't do anything to get it. You didn't do anything to get these words down from heaven. God sent them. And yet at the same time, each individual will gain them by force. God's ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. And you will force yourself into these ways. They are not easy. They belong to the violent. You'll do violent things to yourself in your mind. You will do violent things in your mind. Your mind will do violence to you. When you begin to take on the mind of Christ, your perverted, insane mind will begin to go violent. It'll, folks, I've been slobbering at the mouth. Still am. This lady's getting a bath up here. Through a life lived according to the gospel, through the what? How do you pronounce that word? Abnegation? Okay, I don't know what that means, but it sounds good. Through, according to the gospel, through abnegation and the cross, through the spirit of the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. It's through the Beatitudes. Pope John Paul II spoke to the youth some 4 or 5 years ago, and he said, prove to the world that Matthew 5, 6, and 7 can be lived. But above all, each individual will gain them through a total interior renewal, which the gospel calls metanoia. It is a radical conversion, a profound change of mind and heart. Love your enemy, that is radical. Do good to those that hate you is radical. The world doesn't teach it. Our colleges, folks, don't teach this message. Most of our seminaries don't. I think that they're probably going to be changing. If Father Carapi has anything to do with it, and he allows me to get in, because I don't know anything else to teach. Thank God I'm a dummy. I don't know anything else to teach. Now, there's many other teachings, but this is the one that saves you. This is the gift that saves you. This is the joy of living the kingdom of God on this earth. It is total, complete joy. Thank you, and God bless.